All right. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So, God always gets the glory and he always gets the victory. When he pulls you through to the other side, it's like, praise God. I got this car in front of me, 9996. Anytime you see a 666 upside down, if I had that tag, I'd say, look, I need a new tag. But I see a lot of cars with 666 encoded in. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. He always rescues you from the net, the trap. Remember the coat of many colors? Joseph's brothers didn't understand him, so they threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. He ended up being a king, you know. That still happens. That story still happens today. I remember growing up, and I remember when I was young, 6, 7, or 8, something like that, I would sit there and watch, Charles Stanley on TV, Atlanta, Georgia. And I used to drive through there a lot when I was in Florida, you know, back and forth to Florida. And so that place has changed though a lot. This area's changed. Everything's growing like crazy. The population is off the roof right now. The population growth. This place up here is expanding like crazy. But the cost of living is about half of what it is in these big cities. And so I grew up raised around people who just partied and did cocaine and drugs and marijuana. But I was sitting there watching Charles Stanley and reading Proverbs, and I was slowly seeing a way out. As I got older, I said, you know, I need to go to college. I need to get out of this redneck mindset, this not party animal redneck mindset that I was raised around. I wasn't that. And I was telling somebody at work today, and she said, I said, I pretty much was raised by party animals and drug heads and all, but I would go to my grandmother's after school, and my grandmother was not like that at all. She said, read your Bible, always tell the truth. She was teaching me the right way as a youngster, but I was surrounded by or raised by people who were just party. I mean, they would start a business and it would collapse, and a couple people went to jail, a couple people got in fights in the front yard, drinking, drugging, screaming, cursing, yelling. And so I was raised around that, but I knew I was going to get away from it. I didn't know how. I went to college. I worked my way through college, worked part-time, got a Pell Grant. I went to college for free, pretty much. I got a minority scholarship at a black university the first 3 years. And so my point is, I crawled my way out of a insane party animal mindset. So I saw the witchcraft, the manipulation, the drunkenness, the foolishness, the ignorance. I saw it. I saw it all. I was raised around it. And so I saw the demasculation, trying to de-emasculate men, trying to control men, I saw people stabbing each other, people stabbing somebody. I actually saw it. I didn't see that, I heard about it. People putting stuff in the yard, like skulls. People would come by and throw skulls in the yard, you know. The revenge, the world, the flesh, the pride of life. I was raised around it, but I was thinking, these people are crazy. It was like Jerry Springer. That's why I hate Jerry Springer. That's why I hate drinking. That's why I hate drugging. That's why I hate cursing. And so my point is, I was raised around it, but I got away from it. And thanks to my grandmother, who I would go to visit after school pretty much most of my childhood, I saw the light side. I saw the dark. I was raised in the dark, but I also saw the light. So I had two contrasting views. Praise God. And so eventually I worked my way through college. And after college, I got saved. I thought, well, if I got saved, I'll go back and get these people saved. I thought I could go back. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. So let me go back to my hometown and get these people saved. They didn't want to hear it. They thought I was crazy. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. Anyway, my stepdad, you know, he finally got saved on his deathbed. He called me. I had a really good job as an estimator, electrical contractor estimator. And he finally got saved. He called me from the hospital. He was dying, drunk himself to death. My dad drunk himself to death. They both died at 50. They were married to a Jezebel. And so they were demasculated. But these were strong men and had good jobs, but they were demasculated by Jezebel that I was raised under. And I heard that my dad, I wasn't there, he didn't call me. I heard my dad got saved when he died, and I heard that my stepdad got saved when he called me. He actually called me at work on my job. I was in shock. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, I just got saved, and I wanted you to know. And evidently, one of my aunts went up there who's saved and told him how to be saved, or somebody, a pastor. And I started crying right there in my office. I had an office. I had the blueprints out, and I thought, that is what's real. That's the real life. And not too long after that, I quit that good job, and I went and did some maintenance work. And I said, I ain't going to do 8 hours a day a job I hate. I'm going to do what I enjoy. I don't care if I'm rich, poor, whatever. I'm going to live in the real. I'm going to be genuine. I'm going to be real, genuine. And I ain't going to be around the fake. I ain't going to be around the drug heads, the drunks, and the cursing. I'm not going to be around those fake people. Because all that is, you know what all that is? All the cursing and the drinking and the partying. You know what all that is? It's a mask of their insecurity. Because they haven't really run to Jesus and surrendered all. What's the song? I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. Because they do those things, they haven't surrendered all. They only do those things because they're insecure. And instead of walking in the Spirit, they try to get drunk in the Spirit. They have no confidence unless they're drunk or on some kind of drug or some kind of doobie. I know all the terminology because I was raised around it, but I didn't partake of it. Because my grandmother showed me another way. Read your Bible before you die, grandson. Yes, ma'am, I will. Don't lie, tell the truth. Yes, ma'am, I hear you. She might not have told me the gospel, but she led me by example. And so I'll never forget that. She died at 62 because she worked in a factory all her life. But that woman, she had a big family. She would cook every Sunday. We'd go over there, and you could see, you know, grandfather was there. They'd cook and cook out and all that stuff. But when she died, the whole family split apart, and everybody went their own way. That's the way it always works. It always works that way, especially if it's a family of unsaved who are selfish and con artists and all that. And so, all that to say, I escaped that. At 24 years old, I went back and tried to save them. They didn't want to get saved, so I shook the dust off my feet because I saw that they never had love for me or even themselves or anybody else because it was all about me, 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 me. It was fake love because if you don't have God's love, it's selfish love. Until a person gets born again and says, I surrender all. There's a song. I'll try to find it and post it under here. Somebody might post it. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. All. Not some. Not parts. All. Every room. Every corner. Every closet. I surrender all. And so when you go back and you get around these same kind of mindsets, it's like going back in time. And recently I experienced that. I thought. This is weird. It was a familiar spirit. It felt so like home, though. It was felt so like home that I just couldn't. I kind of lost. I remembered the same spirit, the cursing, the drinking, the smoking, the manipulation, the lying, the witchcraft, the trying to manifest, trying to. I witnessed this recently And I broke down and cried. And it was an uncontrollable cry. And I thought, and I was thinking to myself, why am I crying? And so it reminded me, it was like a culmination of how I escaped the world, the flesh, the pride of life, how God saved me. I got born again. You loved your family. You loved your bloodline. And you love these people who are going to hell in a handbasket, but you can't save them. You can't fix them. You can't change them. If they don't want to, and they might even say, well, I'm going to change. I'm going to jump through this hoop, and I will change. No, you need to change on your own with you and God. I can't force you to change. I'm not ever going to ask anybody to change again, because when I left a good job in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I tried to get all these family members who were hell bound saved, they rejected it. And I learned a big lesson. Also, after that, I got married, and I couldn't change. I had a wife who was involved in a cult, a Pentecostal cult family, and she wasn't going to leave mama and daddy. She was a mama's girl. I said, they're not preaching the gospel in that church. You want me to go to that church and they don't even preach the gospel? I said, you've lost your mind. I'm saved. I'm born again. I went to your mama's church 4 times and they don't preach the gospel. I'm out of here. Bye. God is first. I moved to North Carolina. She came up, but she couldn't stay because she was a mama's girl. And I know there's saved women out there who married to a mama's boy. And if you're not willing to forsake all, look, Abraham and Sarah, they left the Ur of the Chaldees. And they didn't know where they were going. They just went on a journey. And the weird part is, my first wife, she would listen to that song, forget his name, it was like a Christian rock song. And at first I didn't like that song, but it was talking about a journey. You know, it was a great song. After I listened to it a few times, it was a good song because it was like going on a journey, you know, the walk of faith, going on a journey. But she never admitted she was a sinner. How can she be saved if you don't see your sin? Because she was influenced by other people. There's a lot of people out there, and I realized after 5 years of being with her, I was married to an unsaved, a religious but lost, and she kept leaving. So I said, bye, don't come back. If you can't be a faithful, dependable, loyal wife, then you're not my wife. You abandon ship. It's your choice. Bye. But I learned from that. I couldn't fix her. I couldn't change her. I couldn't bring her into the fundamentals of the faith. I couldn't show her. You have to want it on your own. Only God can fix you. No human can fix you. And so, long story short, second wife, she had the party spirit too, just like my mom. And so when you love your bloodline and it's a familiar spirit, there's that pull, there's that draw, there's that love, because you're actually, it's like a culmination of the love that you've had for these people. But you escaped the world, the flesh, and pride of life. You went through the dark night of the soul. And when you went through the dark night, you didn't run to drinking or drugging or some other woman. You faced off with God. And when you came out onto the other side, you knew what it meant to be in the spirit walk and get your total security out of Jesus and Jesus alone. My point is, to make all the long story short, I've seen it all. I've escaped it all. I've overcome it all. And when these agents, these familiar spirits of the past, the ghost of Christmas past, when the ghost of Christmas past tries to take you out of 5D and bring you back to 3D chaos, you say, I love you, but I can't go backwards. I'm in too much peace. Why would I want to go back to chaos? I love my peace. I love the spirit walk. I love my ability to be in peace and love everybody. But I'm not going to yoke up with the lost. I'm not going to yoke up with the delusional. I'm not going to yoke up with the Jezebel. I'm not going to yoke up with Delilah. I'm not going to yoke up with Queen Bee worship. What are you smoking? You really think somebody who crawled their way out and then God pulled them out all these years, you really think that you're going to be able to pull somebody back into a queen bee worship when you worship God alone? I don't worship myself. I don't worship a human. I don't worship an image. I don't worship my future. I can set up some plans, but God directs my path. I don't even worship my plans. I set plans, but I know God can change my path at any moment. My point is this. We might need a ministry. I don't know, maybe some saved person out there. I mean, thank God for, I got like five or six saved people online that I can talk to. That's my, they know what I'm talking about. They understand what I teach. So I got about five or six people online that I can email or text or whatever that I've met. And that's my equilibrium. Your born again family is your equilibrium. And so these people who try to take you out of your security of your born again family, because they don't understand agape love. If somebody's in the world and party animals and all that, they only understand sexual love. They don't understand that you can have agape love to your body, the body of Christ. You have no weird, perverted ideas about these people that you have family with online, because they're saved. But their mind is so twisted and perverted, everything, every human they see, they're just thinking sex and drugs and drinking and partying and going out to the bar. That's all they think about, because their mind is corrupt, because they're still in the flesh mind. So my point is, I think we need a ministry of people who are being demasculated or emasculated, and the feminine side. So there's a lot of people who've been isolated that don't have a group to support them. And there's a lot of people who are emasculated or demasculated, and the feminine is defeminized or demoralized or whatever. There's a lot of people out there that have never experienced real agape love from the church people. Because there's, even if you go to a local church, there's people in there who are devils, who are trying to just get in for the world, the flesh, probably life, and trying to get into your world and vampire off of you. So there needs to be a ministry. I'm not sure if I'd lead it, but somebody needs to lead it, to where if somebody's been isolated and demoralized, demasculated, they don't even know what's happening, because these people are master manipulators and they use subliminals. They have their goal, and everything out of their mouth is like a subliminal under the threshold. Let's say if they want you to come over here to this place, they'll say stuff, well, you know, those people look like they're using you, and, you know, they don't know that you know that. Wrong. I know that, you don't know the whole picture. And see, they'll say stuff to put doubt in your mind. These are subliminals. They'll say stuff to throw the apple out there. And this goes back to Genesis 3. The devil was more subtle than any beast of the field. So when you got one of these devils, demons, Jezebel spirits, they're using subliminals to bring doubt. Oh, you don't need that job. Oh, you don't need to live there. Oh, you need to do that. The devil was more subtle than any beast of the field. So these people who think they're master manipulators, and they face off with somebody who's played the game from a childhood, they've seen the game. And I've had a sister in Christ confirm it with me like 12 years ago. She and I were talking. I said, they say these things to try to find some kind of insecurity or something to try to manipulate. She said, yeah, that's how the Jezebel works. And they just keep on and on and on and on, thinking they can break you. I mean, if you got somebody mentioning suicide on the phone, they're trying to get you to, they're trying to demoralize you. If anybody in your life, I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your best friend, if they're mentioning suicide and, oh, the weather's bad, oh, is it going to be a storm tonight? You take notes on every phone call, and you take notes, and you'll see their game, because they keep repeating it, because they have to keep hitting you. Every conversation, they're hitting you to demoralize, demasculate, fear doubts, fear this. And a lot of it, they live that way, so they're trying to project that onto you. It's them, but they want to make a copy of themselves. Long story short, these are master manipulators, and they exist, and you've got them in your family, and you might be dating one, or you might be married to one, and you start taking notes, and you'll see It's a master manipulator, devil, using subliminals. Genesis 3, the devil was more subtle than any beast of the field. And you unfold the word subtle, and you'll see it means under the radar or under the threshold. So there's attacking your consciousness, your subconsciousness. And if you're not aware of your thoughts, and you're not aware of the game that they're playing on you, you will be demoralized. You will be taken off your game, off your vision, or whatever. Because they have to destabilize you to vampire off of you to support their vision and their goal. And this is real. I'm not joking here. And this is could be life and death for you. I promise you. I'm telling you the truth. I know what I'm talking about. It's NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, but they use subliminals under the threshold to attack your subconscious. And if you're not, if you keep the music going, if you're drinking with them, if you're getting drunk and they're gaslighting you because you are drunk, you have a sound mind if you're saved, but they're trying to take away your sound mind to create confusion. They're trying to take away your sleep. They're trying to get you to put all your energy in their vision, and they don't want to be a part of your vision at all. They are not going to help you, but they want you to help them. We're talking about selfish devils. I'm talking about demons are running them, and they think it's normal that everybody lives that way. They're trying to make you like them, that you manipulate people to get, instead of you trusting God, they trust their manipulation, and they want you to do the same.